Welcome back to the Partners Podcast here at Anabaptist Perspectives. So this is a continued conversation with Gerald Zaire on this concept of the Anabaptists and the arts. The previous episode we did was outlining the challenge and the reasons for the hesitation and the fact that the Anabaptists don't really fully embrace the arts, at least, and we were comparing and contrasting with other church groups, especially historically, and there's a pretty stark difference there in approach. So we were outlining why that is, some of the challenges there, some of the reasoning for that hesitation. And in this episode, we want to now switch it a little and say, well, what is the proper response then? So we've kind of outlined the issues, outlined the challenges, which if you haven't listened to that episode, I encourage you to do that before listening to this one. But where from here, you know, is the question. So I guess let's just start with that as our first question there, Gerald. As we've outlined some of these issues, what is a way forward for our people when it comes to a healthy and proper understanding of the arts?
Yes, a wonderful question and one that's near and dear to my heart. I just want to say first off that I really am excited about not only the value of art, but the role that art can play in Anabaptism. And I think that there's just a lot of rich work that can be done as artists working within the Anabaptist culture and community. But how can that be done? And how do we think about this? I think it's a hard road. Let me just say that first. It's not the easy path, I don't think. And I say that as a person who has struggled with this question and wondered whether my desire to express myself as an artist has a place in the Anabaptist community and trying to find that pathway. And I have friends and relatives who have really kind of made the other decision and moved away from Anabaptism, I think in some cases, at least in part because of this issue, and just saying Anabaptism is too restrictive. It's just too much concerned with what may appear to be legalistic kinds of ideas. And so I myself think that if we can dig deeper under the surface, we can find a place for art to not only exist, but to really flourish within the Anabaptist community. And so the first point maybe that I would have in that regard is to say that I think that morality and constraints can be a vitalizing force. In other words, I think they can be something that propel us towards something that's powerful in our expression of art. And so rather than having to throw off the constraints of culture, and rather than having to throw off the traditions that have come to us through Anabaptism, I think we can take those cultural distinctives and those fibers that are woven into Anabaptism in terms of ethics and morality and practicality and all the sort of instincts that are there in our culture, I think that they can feed into what we do with our artistic expression in a way that does something really good. And doing that, though, is struggle. It's difficult because bringing things that are in tension closer together is never easy. It's always a challenge. It's always a wrestling and personal, digging deep into our souls to try to discover how we can live out these sort of multifaceted aspects of who we are as artists. And so in a way, I think it can sound like a pat answer to say that just to say something like morality and constraints can be a vitalizing force, you know, I can just hear the artists around me kind of rolling their eyes. Well, you can't hear that. You can see it. I can see them rolling their eyes. But for good reason, it is hard, I think, to see that. But for myself, I believe that I've seen a little bit of how that can be and how that can be done, and just a little bit. And I think it's exciting to me because I do believe that it is a pathway to really powerful expressions of art. And I think that as we sort of bring our artistic impulses under this structure, whether it be visual art or whether it be music or whether it be some other form of art, I think that there is a ground there for something really good to be done and developed. And it's sort of like a high pressure system, a high pressure experience. You know, it's like there's a lot of force that's being exerted there, but sometimes all that force brings out, it crystallizes into something that's really beautiful. And that's kind of what I'm picturing, that as we subject ourselves to this, that there is something crystallized inside of ourselves that is good and that's valuable. And maybe just a little personal example of a place that I'm wrestling with this is, so my oldest son is really into cameras and editing, video editing, creating videos, and, you know, in an amateur way. And he's making these different kinds of videos and editing them. And we'll watch him as a family. And he has this dream of, you know, of directing a blockbuster movie. And so he's talking to me about this dream of movie making. And he's like, "Dad, you know, I want to make a movie with a lot of explosions and car chases and gunshots, but how can I do this? Like, I'm concerned, like, you know, like we don't really do that as Anabaptists. Like, we don't pull guns out of our pockets and point them at people and things like that, you know?" And so we're having this conversation about, well, what does it mean to be an Anabaptist and think about this dream of making a really exciting movie that's high adrenaline, you know, and that accomplishes all these things he wants to accomplish. And it's a tension, you know, it's not an easy answer. But what about, what stories are there out there? And this is what I'm telling him, is that what stories are there out there that are worth telling? Where are the stories at that do bring forward the things that we care about, that are important to us as Anabaptists? Where are the stories that are satisfying enough, that really meet that need that you have inside of yourself to tell a story that is difficult, that's challenging, that is exciting, that takes courage, that is a little bit risky, a little bit dangerous, you know? And so, again, you know, the answer is not obvious, but it's as we struggle with that dynamic, I think that we open the doors to find something that is a little bit beyond the ordinary.
So essentially that the struggle is a good thing, and that struggle can be really good, but also creativity does have a real place and real value in and of itself, as a force that can be utilized for something beyond ourselves. Is that a good way of saying it?
I think so. I think that, you know, and here we start to, I think, engage into the question of, well, how does the artist relate to the culture, and how does the culture relate to the artist? And so I've kind of emphasized that the artist needs to bring themselves under the culture, in a sense, as I'm talking about. That's maybe a way that I'm talking about this. I think there's also a sense in which the culture needs to embrace the artist and agree that the artist has a place in culture. And I think that means, even if there's some unease there, coming from the side of the culture and from the leaders of culture, there's still room for it. And that the culture is saying, we see value in what you're doing. We see value in your imagination and your creativity and these kind of weird things that are a little bit uncomfortable to us, but we recognize that they have a place in holding up a mirror to us, in telling a story to us that we need to hear. I think if the culture can say that to the artist, that now we're on the cusp of something really fruitful happening.
So one of the things you've talked about, I think it's in that second video you've made, which again, we'll link those in the description for people to check out. But you mentioned something to the effect that we really need to work on our theology of imagination. Can you explain what you mean by that? First of all, define it. But then also, can you suggest some possible ways forward?
Yes. I think one of the weaknesses of Anabaptism is in this area of imagination. And because Anabaptism emphasizes doing the right thing and emphasizes that pretty strongly, it's too easy for us to turn life into a series of choices that happen one after the other in a very straightforward way. We don't have room sometimes, or don't make enough room for the very real struggles of the human heart that don't always work out in quite that way. And some of us do very well with a clear pathway where we can just follow a set of choices that's kind of laid out for us. And we can function pretty well within that environment. There are others where that scenario does not work so well. And sometimes that's particularly true of people who have really experienced very traumatic things. They have maybe seen terrific horrors of war or personal trauma or things that have interrupted their lives in that way. And you can't just choose your way out of that. You can't just make a series of choices of will that get you out of that situation. And so that's where the imagination starts to engage. And that's where on a few different fronts, imagination, I think, becomes really important. And so depending on our personality and giftings, some of us are very gifted in the imaginative realm, and we just need an outlet for that. We need, it's like, this is a part of me. I have to be able to express my ideas and my emotions and get them out there in a way that, I can share with the world what I have to share. And then secondly, with the point that I was making about someone who's experienced a very hard or traumatic things in life, often the imagination is a pathway to healing that you can't get with just by making a series of choices, like I said earlier. And that's, I'm going a little bit too far afield here, but I think those who work with trauma victims have found that things like art can be very effective in helping them find healing. And so when I start to talk about a theology of the imagination, I think that is the direction that I'm trying to point, is to try to start to answer that question of what is the imagination all about? Why did God give us the imagination, and how are we supposed to use it? Does it have a place in our lives as Anabaptists, and what kind of place does it have? How do we not just allow it, but embrace it, and there is, one way to treat it would just be to kind of tolerate it, to, and keep it as a low level as we possibly can, but we'll kind of let it be there as much as it has to be. But that's kind of an unfortunate way to look at it. And I think a better way is to say that the imagination is God-given. yes, it needs parameters around it. Yes, it needs restraints. You know, yes, it needs ethics to keep it from going wild. But it is a good thing that God has given us, and it really has a place in healing, in revealing, in bringing understanding, and bringing perspective. It's a powerful way of teaching and developing as it's exercised, both for the artist and for the one who is receiving that art.
Yeah, I think you've added some good pieces here on essentially why art itself is valuable or worth it, or I'm trying to come up with the right phraseology, but it's important, I guess, is a way of saying it. I wish I could remember the exact phrase, but something like a culture is many times defined by the stories that it tells. And when you were talking about imagination and things, I had to think of like storytelling, for example, which can be very much an art form, you know, and that imagination, and that can have an incredibly deep influence on a people group and a culture. So then I'm starting to think, okay, well then what are the stories that we tell within our culture, and how do we go about that? What stories do we choose to tell? And so, it feels like there is a lot of work to be done in this space to define some of that and flesh that out. You know, how do we have a proper understanding of imagination and how it fits within our churches and within the story that we're telling? Because we are telling a story of some kind by the way we live and by the culture that we have built. How much thought is being put into that, and what will it look like, and what's the best way forward, and how can we embrace those people who maybe do have those gifts of imagination or creativity, et cetera, to help them contribute to the story that is building our culture. I don't know. I feel like I'm just throwing out a lot of questions, and I really don't know the answer to this, but I'd be curious if you'd have any thoughts on that, or maybe we should just leave it as a question for the listeners to ponder. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think you brought out the question there that's kind of the live question. And I think it's a question that we are just starting to try to answer in a lot of ways. But I want to reiterate just maybe a couple points, and that is that I think that in many ways that is a good place to be. I think that if we can see the struggle as having the possibility to lead us to good places, that hopefully we'll be able to engage that struggle with a sense of hope and a sense of wonder and excitement that can be a pathway forwards and that can help sustain us during the rough times. And I think there will be rough times. I don't think that, as you know, with our Anabaptist culture being what it is, we're not going to cultivate a lot of art within ourselves without some struggle. But I think that, as I mentioned earlier, I think the struggle has the potential to bring forward some really good things. And so I would just encourage the artists that are out there, you know, seek a way to be, to work with integrity within the community that you're part of. Seek a way to submit yourself to that community in a way that doesn't stifle who you are, doesn't destroy it, but it calls out who you are in a new way, in a powerful way. And then from the cultural side of things, from those who might be looking at artists with a little bit of concern and saying, what do we do with these guys? Think about how you can bridge out to those artists who might be wrestling with this question, and make a space for them to help, to speak into the culture, to help tell the stories, to help, in a sense, decorate the aspects of culture that are important to us in a good way and in a healthy way. And again, I think that if that can happen, that's going to be a powerful synergy, and really gives me hope as I look towards the future and think about how I believe our culture can be strengthened by artists who care about the things that make Anabaptism what it is, and can find ways to express that and to show it and to embody it.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about, but I think that's a really solid note to end on, as in, it's an important conversation to have. We have work to do, but it's a good thing to work on, so to speak. It's a good thing to have to struggle through and work through this as a people. I agree with that. I think this is an important piece that I think there's a lot of people within our circles that do have incredible skills of creating beautiful things and being creative, because creativity is a God-given thing. I mean, God is incredibly creative. You know, look at creation, and that's beautiful. You know, but at the same time, noting, you know, there is a lot of work to do as we try to figure out what will that look like and how will that fit with our culture and the people that the people group that we have built over many hundreds of years. These are not easy things that will be fixed or figured out in, you know, a short period of time. It's an ongoing process. And I think that's okay. So yeah, this is really good stuff. Thanks for taking the time to share, Gerald. I want to make sure we covered everything you want to cover. Are there more points you want to add to this conversation? I mean, obviously the concept of art and so forth is a massive topic and we'll never cover everything, but I want to make sure you have shared everything you have.
Yeah, I think we covered the high points, and thank you for giving me the chance here to talk about some things that I care about.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. And for those of you listening, be really curious to hear your feedback on this topic. This is not something that's talked about just that much within our circles. So it's maybe a little, hopefully it didn't strike people as a bit odd that we did some episodes on it, because I think it is an important piece, and it kind of fits with what we're doing here as an organization. You know, we're trying to create pieces of content that are helpful to people, but also look nice, sound good, you know, those kinds of things. We want it to be pleasing as well. And it's an important conversation. So if you have feedback, we'd love to hear it, or further questions, feel free to reach out to us. And of course, if you're hearing this podcast, that means you're part of our partner program, and we really do appreciate it. It's because of people like yourself that we're able to continue this ministry. So as always, you can find all our material on our website. We also have an email newsletter. We're on Twitter now. We've done an audio book. We have our main podcast that you can find anywhere you get your podcasts, or over on YouTube as well. So thanks so much for listening and for your support, and we will catch you in the next episode.